Leviticus chapter 7. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Leviticus 7, verse 1. Likewise, this is the law of the trespass offering. It is most holy. In the place where they kill the burnt offering, shall they kill the trespass offering, and the blood thereof shall he sprinkle round about the altar. And he shall offer it, all the fat thereof, the rump, and the fat that covers the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul that is above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a trespass offering. Every male among the priests shall eat thereof. It shall be eaten in the holy place. It is most holy. As the sin offering is, so is the trespass offering. There is one law for them. The priest who makes atonement therewith shall have it. So the ritual of the trespass offering follows the same pattern as the sin offering. Again, God tells us that the sacrifice is most holy. And that's because it represented the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. And we can never emphasize too much the holiness of Jesus Christ, to which this trespass offering pointed. We can't emphasize it too much, and I don't think we can really understand the pure holiness of Christ until we understand just how sinful we are and just how far we have fallen short. When we get a clear picture of ourselves from the biblical standard, from God's standard, and then we see that Jesus is 100% holy, then we'll really have an appreciation for just how holy he is and what that means. Verse 8, and the priest who offers any man's burnt offering, even the priest, shall have to himself the skin of the burnt offering which he has offered. The laborer, the Bible says, is worthy of his pay. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 13 and 14. And as part of the priest's wages, they were to be given the valuable skin from the trespass offering. And it was valuable. They used those skins for a lot of things back in those days. 9. And all the meat offering that is baked in the oven, and all that is dressed in the frying pan and in the pan, shall be the priest who offers it. And every meat offering mingled with oil and dry shall all the sons of Aaron have, one as much as another. Cooked grain offerings belong to the officiating priest, and uncooked grain offerings were shared by all the priests. Verse 11, looking at the peace offering, and this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he, the one who brings the sacrifice, offer it for a thanksgiving, and that means that it's for thanksgiving that peace has been restored between himself and God because of the sin offering or the trespass offering, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. 13. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering unleavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord. And that would be the right shoulder. And it shall be the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offerings. Verse 15, and the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. The most common type of peace offering was the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And this idea of thanking God is very important for us today. And this shouldn't be a hard thing for us to do, since we have so much to be thankful for. Jesus died and paid for our sins. We're not going to hell if we are Christians. That alone should cause us to give thanks continually. We should say thank you to God for that every time we begin a prayer. And so the worshiper would present a thank offering because of the mercies that they had received from God. And in addition to the animal sacrifice, three types of cakes prepared with oil were to be offered as well. One cake of each type was to be lifted to heaven and then give to the officiating priest. And it's important for us to remember that Jesus is our peace offering, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. This aspect of Christ is seen in verse 12. That's why there's an absence of leaven, because again, leaven speaks of sin, and there was no sin in our peace offering, the Lord Jesus Christ. Perfect type of the Lord Jesus. Verse 13, besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. Now, none of this leavened bread was placed on the altar. It was just used for bread during the meal that accompanied the sacrifice. Remember, God would not accept anything with leaven because that spoke of sin. And he doesn't want our sinful works. He doesn't want our good works as sinners that cannot make atonement for our sins. It cannot make peace between us and God. 16. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers his sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him who offers it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul who eats of it shall bear his iniquity. The second type of peace offering was for a vow or for a free will offering, and the leftovers of that sacrificial meal could be eaten the following day, but anything left beyond the second day had to be burned. 19. And the flesh that touches any unclean, that would be the flesh of the sacrifice, that touches any unclean thing, shall not be eaten. It shall be burnt with fire. And as for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. But the soul that eats of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings that pertain unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, the soul that shall touch any unclean thing, as the uncleanness of man, or any unclean beast, that would be dead bodies, perhaps, or lepers, or any abominable unclean thing, and eat of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings which pertain unto the Lord, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. The rule for eating the sacrificial meat was very clear. Both the eater and the meat had to be clean in the eyes of God. And if this rule was broken, the violators were to be excommunicated. And it's not that God was being picky for the sake of being picky. These things represented Jesus Christ, you see? And there's no room for compromise on the character of Christ, on the person of Christ, or what he has done in which these things represented. 22, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, you shall eat no manner of fat, of ox, or of sheep, or of goat, and the fat of the beast that dies of itself, and the fat of that which is torn with beast, may be used in any other use, but you shall not in no wise eat of it. For whosoever eats the fat of the beast, of which men offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, even the soul that eats it shall be cut off from his people. You know, the fat of an animal signified its health and its prosperity. And consequently, it was a type of God giving his very best, which refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 26, moreover, you shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be of fowl or of beast, in any of your dwellings. Whatsoever soul it be that eats any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off from the people. No blood, no fat. That's the rule. And it's not just the rule. We know today it's smart for health reasons. But there are spiritual reasons which I think are more important than anything. Blood redeems us. And fat, which represented the very best in the minds of the people back in those days, people who belonged to God. And so after we're redeemed, God wants us to give our very best, give our fat, as it were, to Jesus. The blood of Jesus redeems it, redeems us. God says, don't drink the blood. That belongs to me. And give me the fat. In other words, give me your very best after I redeem you. Verse 28. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, he who offers the sacrifice of his peace offering unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. God says, if you want to offer a sacrifice to ask my blessing, you must bring the part to be burned and lay it on the bronze altar. In verse 30, his own hands shall bring the offering of the Lord made by fire. The fat with the breast, it shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. In other words, first lift up the breast with the fat to show that the offering is dedicated to God. Verse 31. And the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons, part of their pay. And the right shoulder shall you give unto the priest for an heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offerings. He among the sons of Aaron who offers the blood of the peace offerings and the fat shall have the right shoulder for his part. For the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and have given them unto Aaron the priest and unto his sons by a statute forever from among the children of Israel. The priest had a share in the peace offering. The breast was the wave offering. It was dedicated to the Lord by waving it sideways. Afterwards, it was shared by the whole body of priests. The right shoulder was the heave offering. It was dedicated to the Lord with an up and down motion. And afterward, it was given to the officiating priest. Not the entire body of priests, but just the officiating priest. So, verse 35. This is the portion of the anointing of Aaron and of the anointing of his sons out of the offerings of the Lord made by fire in the day when he presented them to minister unto the Lord in the priest's office, which the Lord commanded to be given them of the children of Israel in the day that he anointed them by a statute forever throughout their generations. And these verses simply summarize chapter 6, verse 8 through 7, verse 34. Verse 37, this is the law of the burnt offering, of the meat offering, and of the sin offering, and of the trespass offering, and of the consecrations, and of the sacrifice of the peace offerings. And again, that meat offering is a grain offering or meal offering. Verse 38, which the Lord commanded Moses in Mount Sinai in the day that he commanded the children of Israel to offer their oblations unto the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. So these verses refer to the first seven chapters of this book, which included the handbook on the sacrifices for the Israelites and additional regulations for the priest. The mention of the Lord and Sinai right here is a reminder that the sacrificial system was a part of the covenant law, the covenant obligations given by God to his people.